Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, and we're glad you could join us on a very, very busy and exciting night of championship basketball. Plenty of things going on, semi-states, college basketball, NAIA and NCAA Division III national tournaments. Right now, though, we turn it over to the star of our show. He's got everything you need to know about games. It's Nathaniel Finch.
A pleasure to be with you, Coach Lovell, from our downtown Indianapolis studios. Nathaniel Finch here with Corbin Lingenfelter. We've got plenty to talk about today, as you just mentioned. Obviously, the big topic tonight, boys semi-state finals. We know almost every matchup for the state championship on March 30th in 2 weeks. We know the Pacers' final score. I'll give you that. Purdue and how their game went today. And then you talked about it, the Division III National Championship. An Indiana school is representing the nation in Division III. We also have more small college basketball scores for you. Let's get right into it, starting with the scores you care about the most. It's semi-state action. We know most of the matchups. Let's start with 4A. Fishers and Fort Wayne Wayne battled to determine who makes it out of that side of the bracket. Fishers wins 69-61. They defeat Fort Wayne Wayne. The Tigers going to play Ben Davis next week, who just escaped the Newcastle semi-state. And get this, Ben Davis, they defeated Center Grove in the early game. They defeated Jeffersonville 52-51 to advance and play Fishers in the 4A state title in 2 weeks. In Class 3A, we didn't have the score for a while for the Delta and South Bend St. Joseph game, and for good reason. That game went to triple overtime, a wild finish, no score in double overtime. Then they finally edged themselves in triple overtime. This is South Bend St. Joseph gets a 44-41 win over Delta. They'll play Scottsburg in 2 weeks, who defeated Guerin Catholic 70-54. In Class 2A, another overtime game. Wapahani defeats Fort Wayne Blackhawk 60-49 in OT. Brownston Central 66, Park Heritage 56. That'll be Brownston Central against Wapahani in 2 weeks for the Class 2A state title at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Finally, we're waiting on one more score at the Hatchet House. Bethesda Christian defeated Bar Reef 63-38. Bethesda Christian will play. We don't know yet. We're in the fourth quarter of the Liberty Christian versus Fort Wayne Canterbury game. Heading into the fourth, it was Liberty 41, Canterbury 39. And get this, Canterbury was ahead double figures for most of the first half. Liberty storms back. They take the lead heading into the fourth quarter. We will likely have that score for you in the next 15 minutes. Let's move on and talk about the Pacers today. They get a 121-100 win over the Brooklyn Nets. They hosted that one at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and Pascal Siakam led the charge with 28 points for the Blue and Gold. He had 11 rebounds as well. Tyrese Haliburton, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Purdue, not as lucky. They fell by a point in Minneapolis today in the Big Ten tournament. Semifinal, 76-75. That score, they fall to the Wisconsin Badgers, who will now compete for the Big Ten tournament title tomorrow against Illinois. But it was a day when Zach Edey did this.
Edey against Krell. Back in, jump hook. He's got it. Zach Edey, the all-time leading scorer in Purdue basketball history. He passes Rick Mount, and now he is on the mountaintop in West Lafayette.
Congratulations to Edey, the Boilermakers, as Rob Blackman said, getting extra days rest. Trine, your Division III national champions, they defeat Hampton Sydney. Trine the 13 seed, Hampton Sydney the number one seed, and it's Trine who gets the win 69-61, the final, representing Indiana. A record 4,500 people were at the game at Fort Wayne today to watch that one, and it was a Great win for Trine this afternoon. We've got some more playoff scores for you. In NAIA, we've got plenty, and I'll get to those next. My UND Greyhounds, Corbin Lingenfelter here in the studio as well. They move on after getting a tournament win in the first round of the Midwest Regionals. UND hosting the tournament. They win 71-65 over William Jewell. I'll get you those NAIA scores and the rest of the high school slate next. This is a Network Indiana Scoreboard Update. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Semi-state action today at the Hatchet House in Washington. Bethesda Christian beats Bar Reeve in the championship game, 63-38, the final. From Southern Indiana Sports Productions, Dave Sockel joins me. Dave, thank you so much for the call. Very impressive win for Bethesda Christian today.
Well, Bethesda Christian, Coach, they just took this semi-state. They were the dominant team all day long. They won the first game, leading from start to finish. Got out to a 16-7 lead and never looked back. Matter of fact, they never trailed in either game at all, as they won that first game over Greenwood Christian, 53-35. And then the second game, Evansville Christian got out to an 8-0 lead on Bar Reeve, but Bar Reeve chipped away. By halftime, they led 19-15 and went on to win that with 54-44 to advance to the championship. And then again, Bethesda Christian, it was all the Patriots in the championship game. They got out to an 18-4 lead in that first quarter and never looked back, as Bar Reeve never cut it down past 14 points, and they went going away 63-38. Very, very impressive, this Bethesda Christian team. But, you know, they were the smallest of all the four teams there. I think they've got a I think they've got an enrollment of around 135 kids. The others had, 220, 250, somewhere in that range. But they may be the smallest team, but they were the biggest team on the court tonight, as they just dominated the action at the Hatchet House. And I'll tell you what, whoever they end up taking on, be it the Fort Wayne Canterbury team or the Liberty Christian team, that's going to be a great game next, or not next week, but 2 weeks taking place there in Indianapolis. But Bethesda Christian, just a tremendous effort. Again, they put four kids in double figures in that championship game. The leading scorer, Sam Mulligan, he had 17, and also Luke Douglas had 15, Cooper Jackson had 12, and Stephen Tierney also chipped in with 16 points. So great ballot scoring. They kept Bar Reeve, well, under 40 points at 38. Just great clinic as far as offensively and defensively. They dominated the whole day and never looked back. And congratulations to the Patriots.
What's the key in them getting such a great start, Dave?
Well, they got out, and I think what happened is that from our viewpoint is they came out and the defense. I mean, you know, now they hit some shots and that type of thing, but they just seem to cause turnovers right from the start. That seems to be the game plan, as both Greenwood Christian and Bar Reeve right from the start started turning the basketball over. And if you know how Bar Reeve plays, that's very unusual of that ball team. And like I said, the game plan from the start was to just go after them. And kind of like what you do when you're behind a few points and you go into kind of a scramble. They kind of played that defense right from the start, and it kind of shook both Bar Reeve and Greenwood Christian. And, you know, once the first quarter was over with, it was really never a ball game after that in both games. And I was very impressed. That's the first time I had got the opportunity to see Bethesda Christian. And I know they're located up around Brownsburg, so we don't get a chance to see many teams up around that area. So, again, we didn't really know what to expect. And, of course, obviously everybody there at the Hatchet House, they had over 6,000 people there for that second game with Evansville Christian and with Bar Reeve. I mean, it was great, especially being just 1A schools. But, obviously, the hotel of Montgomery, where Bar Reeve is located, showed up. And Evansville Christian brought a good crowd, too. And, of course, that was against 1 and 2. And, of course, the chatter was, oh, well, that's the game for the state championship and that type of stuff. But nobody saw what was coming, and that was Bethesda Christian. And I give it a lot of credit because of their schedule. They play up there in the Brownsburg area. Yeah. They play a lot of teams in bigger classes. They play a lot of 2A, 3A, few 4A teams, and it just got them ready for the 1A tournament, and that proved the point tonight. As, again, they will take a 23-7 record, not the most impressive record going into a state championship, but I tell you what, they played like state champions tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at the schedule right now, and you know, they played – played Tipton, played Park Tudor. You know, Tipton could have been in a semi-state. Park Tudor lost today. They played University, played Speedway, played Terre Haute South. How am I doing so far? Played a good Clay City team. Yeah, exactly. You know, you're 100% right. I mean, listen to those schools, you understand exactly what you're saying. Dave, I have to run. Thank you so much for the call. Dave Sockel from Southern Indiana Sports. Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
We have all but one score in high school basketball today, the semi-states, of course, and the only game we're waiting on, Liberty Christian taking on Fort Wayne Canterbury in Michigan City, and boy, is this one coming down to the wire. With about a minute left, Canterbury was up by 2, Liberty drilled a 3, now with 30 seconds left, responding with the 3 on the other end, all of a sudden, Canterbury leading ahead 55-53, 8.1 seconds left. I'll see if I can get you a final for that one. But currently, Canterbury has the ball ahead 55-53. If they win, they would play Bethesda Christian in the 1A state title 2 weeks from now. Of course, no teams are playing next week because Indianapolis hosting the first round and the second round of the NCAA Division I tournament. So they'll play at Gainbridge Fieldhouse on March 30th. Bethesda Christian gets the win over Bar Reeve today in 2A. Brownson Central 66-56. They beat Park Heritage. Wapahani ahead 60-49. They defeat Fort Wayne Blackhawk in overtime to advance the 2A state title. Scottsburg and South Bend St. Joseph will meet in 2 weeks at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the Class 3A title. And then Fishers will play Ben Davis. After Fishers won by 8, Ben Davis won by 1. They both will head to Gainbridge Fieldhouse in 2 weeks. I've got a couple scores for you here. Obviously, we're still waiting on the one high school score. But how about this? Huntington University in the NAIA Round 2, currently down by 3 with 23 seconds left. Excited to see how that one finishes. I'll give you that and the rest of the NAIA scores next. Nathaniel Finch with Network Indiana Sports.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by the Indiana Donor Network. High school basketball tonight at the Southport Semi-State. Brownstown Central beats Park Heritage 66-56 for the championship. Kurt Darling from the ISC Sports Network joins me. Kurt, thank you so much for the call. What a great day of basketball at Southport.
Yeah, Coach, and Brownstown Central, it certainly wasn't without tough fighting, to say the least, for the Braves. They had to get past a tough Park Tudor game in Park Tudor team in the 10 o'clock morning game. That went down to the wire. They barely got by them by 1 point, 50-49, the final score in that one. But then they came out against a Park Heritage squad that was not afraid of Jack Benter and company. Of course, Brownstown Central, the number one team in the state, but Park Heritage and Brownstown Central, Coach, they combined for 6 three-pointers in the first 2 minutes in the first quarter. Yeah. So, needless to say, both teams were really coming out swinging, but Coach, Jack Benter is Jack Benter for a reason. He had 26 first-half points in this nightcap here against Park Heritage. And then he ended the night with 35 of the 66 points that Brownstown Central ended up scoring in this one. But Park Heritage, though, Coach, I mean, to their credit, they really played a lot tougher than many people probably would have expected because they didn't match up really well. I mean, Brownstown Central has a whole bunch of height, whole bunch of size. Park Heritage, they just have a lot of rough, scrappy basketball players, and they're young, too. They only had one senior starting, and so they're going to bring a whole lot of players back next year. But this was a grinded-out day for Brownstown Central. They earned every point that they had today between the two teams they had to play.
All right, take me back to the Park Tudor game. It's a one-point game. How does Brownstown Central win that one?
Well, it came down to the wire, Coach, because Brownstown Central, they ended up turning the ball over late in the ball game. There were about 10 seconds left to go. They were up by one, of course, 50-49. The final score ended up in that one. But Kamon Washington had an excellent drive up court off of the final inbound from Park Tudor and just couldn't quite get the final shot to fall. They had a good look, but Park Tudor just couldn't quite get it done. But Park Tudor really applied a lot of pressure to Brownstown Central, probably the most pressure that the Brownstown Central had seen all season long, and that's exactly what Coach Dave Benter actually said he was expecting, and so much so, Coach, that Jack Benter, he was bent over hands on his knees, huffing and puffing. He was exhausted. He only had 12 points, by the way, against Park Tudor, so they really made it tough for them, and but it was just a grinded-out victory, but Park Tudor, to their credit, man, they came ready to play. They matched up really well with Brownstown Central, but the Braves just were able to get that much better on the Panthers in this one, but that was a really tough game in that 10 o'clock opener.
All right, so tell me how, in the second game, how was Park Heritage able to beat Forest Park 64-54?
Well, that one, Coach, was all Max Dowd and Trey Shelsky. As you know, Trey Shelsky, he's the son of head coach Rich Shelsky, and he's only a sophomore. He had 21 points in that ball game. And Forest Park, though, they really came to play as well. All four teams came to play in this one. But one thing that really hampered Forest Park was the fact that Reed Howard, their leading scorer this season, he really didn't get off to a really good start, and it just kind of permeated throughout the whole ball game. There were a few lead changes back and forth early on, Coach, but Park Heritage was just able to slowly and methodically pull away in the second half. But Max Dowd, he really came to play in the first half. He had 12 first-half points to really set the tone for Park Heritage, and it was just an anchor of what Park Heritage does best, and that's play defense. They only gave up about maybe 45 points per contest this season. And part of their game, Coach, is the fact that they play a lot of defense that actually brings the offense to them. They make the other team make mistakes. But at the same time, though, Coach, Forest Park only had 6 turnovers in that whole ballgame. So Forest Park didn't make a whole lot of mistakes, but Park Heritage was just able to make that many more plays. And down the stretch, though, Coach, it just ended up being Park Heritage just able to methodically pull away, even though Forest Park gave them a battle, too.
So you got to see 3 pretty good ball games, did you not?
Oh, absolutely, Coach. It was rocking inside of Southport Fieldhouse. Brownstown Central probably brought the biggest crowd out of the four teams, but Park Tudor also brought a really good crowd in the morning game. But, yeah, they were probably about maybe 5,000 strong inside Southport Fieldhouse for all 3 games here today. And so it was 3 really good ball games, 4 really good basketball teams, all of whom deserve to be there. And one thing to look forward to next week, Coach, is rather 2 weeks from now, Coach, is that Brownstown Central, they're going to be playing a good Wapahani team that beat a good Blackhawk Christian team up north today. So that'll be a heck of a ball game to look forward to in the 2-way game.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think the storyline is compelling. I mean, you've got two teams that have young guys, have matured and gotten better and better. You know, clearly the story with Brownstown Central was Jack Benter. I mean, his father, Dave, the coach, was a pretty good basketball player himself, had a great career at Hanover. And so it's a there's a lot going on, and it's just – you know, to get to this point, clearly you have to get some breaks, but I think people are going to be excited when they get a chance to see Jack Benter play. He's headed to Purdue, and I think people want to see him. Give me your impressions of him as a player and what you were able to see today.
Well, Coach, I've been able to see two players this season play. Flory Badunga from Kokomo and Jack Benner now from Brownstown Central. This is the first time I actually ever got to see him play in person.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, Coach, that in the first game against Park Tudor, Jack Benner was, as I mentioned, was just given everything that they could possibly throw at him from Park Tudor. He was exhausted after that game. Well, he comes back in the evening game today and overcomes the fact that he's exhausted from having been given the kitchen sink from Park Tudor,
mm-hmm.
and he drops 35 points. That
wow.
is a special performance. So the fact of
yeah.
the matter is, Coach, with tonight's performance, Jack Benner, he moves to 12th all-time in scoring over Cooper Neese, and he only needs a few more points to move into 11th all-time past Connor Essigian for all-time state in scoring. So to accomplish that, given the fact that what he was given at Park Tudor is something very special, I do think that Jack Benner should definitely be in the conversation for Mr. Basketball. I'm not going to say who I would vote for
right.
if I were a voting
right.
member,
right.
but he is in the conversation.
I couldn't agree more. Kurt Darling has the call on the Southport semi-state, which goes to Brownstown Central. Some great, great matchups, as he pointed out. Brownstown Central wins the championship 66-56 over Park Heritage. And I'm with you, Kurt. It's confusing, and I understand why, but the games are in 2 weeks, not next week. We've been, you know, we have the habit of talking about next week. We just got extended an extra week. But it's okay. We kind of like the fact that NCAA first and second round in town, plenty of opportunities for people to see great basketball. It's all about basketball. Come on, it's March, so we're talking about basketball. So we move it back a week and get ready to go, and they'll own that weekend at the end of the month, and so it'll be a lot of fun. I'll see you Monday at the press conference. I'm glad you called. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Coach. Looking forward to calling the 1A game with you in 2 weeks as well.
Oh, you know what? I forgot. So am I. I was excited when I saw that. Clearly not excited enough to remember, but I saw that. And we did this last year, did we not?
Yes, we did. We did the 4A game. Or no, 2 years ago, I think. We did one of the early morning games.
Right, right. Your memory's much better than mine. I just know that we did it. I'm looking forward to it. Kurt, it's always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Coach. You do the same.
Thank you. Kurt Darling from the ISC Sports Network. Great young broadcaster. Great guy. So, yeah, he and I will have we have the television. You know, we have the radio call of the 1A game. And then I'm doing 2A on TV, I think, is my schedule. But I have 2 weeks to figure it out, thank goodness. All right, Nathaniel Finch, tell me about – I know you're getting ready to bring in the NAIA and Division III. First of all, Trine University, NCAA Division III national champs. How cool is that?
Oh, you got to love it, Coach. From Indiana, representing
Nathaniel.
The nation.
Yeah, perfect. Hold that thought. We'll come back and we'll talk about it, because Nathaniel is coming up with a scoreboard update. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
It's your Network Indiana scoreboard update. I'm Nathaniel Finch. Our final high school score came through: Fort Wayne Canterbury 56, Liberty Christian 53. So we have the field set for the state championships 2 weeks from now. In 4A, Fishers will take on Ben Davis. In 3A, it's Scottsburg against South Bend St. Joseph. 2A, it's Wapahani and Brownston Central. And then 1A, the final one just came through. Bethesda Christian will take on Fort Wayne Canterbury. Let's get to the small college basketball scores today, and let's start with the big one. Representing Indiana, it's Trine, Division III national champions. They win 69-61 over Hampton City. National champions, you love to see it, from the state of Indiana. They join a lot of winners today. UIndy hosting the Midwest region. They defeat William Jewell 71-65 is that final. The Hounds play tomorrow night in the second round of the Midwest region. After that, we've got Grace, the top-ranked seed. They win 106-61 against 8-seeded Union in the NAIA tournament. Joined in that same tournament, Indiana Wesleyan, a 2-seed. They defeat Tennessee Southern 92-81, and they're now headed to their 14th NAIA Sweet 6. After that, couple losses, unfortunately. Bethel, they fall 79-76 in a heartbreaker to Central Baptist. And then Huntington just lost, 4-point loss. They lose 73-69 to Arizona Christian. But overall, the state of Indiana represented well in the postseason, especially in the NAIA tournament. And, of course, the Division III national champions in Trine University, 69-61. That final score, Trine with the upset, they're national champions. And I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Congratulations to the Trine Thunder. That is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. They win the Division III, one of the lower seeds to win, 69-61 winners over number one, Hampton-Sydney. A tremendous, tremendous win. Also, congratulations to Grace Indiana Wesleyan for moving on in the NAIA National Tournament. Congratulations, even though they lost, but to Bethel and to Huntington, great seasons. I understand it. I was fortunate to have four of my teams play in the NAI National Tournament, two at Franklin, two at IUPUI, and I understand the thrill, a thrill of victory and the bitterness of defeat in that tournament. So we'll talk about a little bit later. From Arizona, the voice of the South Bend Cubs in the midst of all this basketball, let's talk some baseball with Brendan King. You know him. You love him. You can't live without him, but you are living without him right now because he's enjoying the sun and fun down in Arizona.
What's going on, Coach? Good to be with you.
I'm not like you. I'm not working on my tan, hanging out watching ball, you know? So there's something wrong with this picture.
Yeah, but here's the thing about working on your tan at a baseball field, Coach. It's not like Florida. It's not like when we're in Naples where we can go tarp
right
and you can sit by the pool.
Right.
I got a polo on, so I'm working on my farmer's tan more than anything.
You'll look good, though. You'll be able to even that out sometime soon. So what's happening? Do we have good news about the Cubs and about our South Bend Cubs?
Yeah, good news today. A little split squad action for the Cubs. They played the Royals at Sloan Park, which is their home base in Arizona. I was at that ball game, and then they played the Angels on the road, a little bit up the road. And it's a doubleheader sweep, Coach, for the Cubs today. So Greg Council, of course, managing his first few games with the Cubs coming over from the Brewers. Things are looking solid. Couple home runs each today from both Seiya Suzuki and Yan Gomes. But to the second part of your question, was out at minor league camp a bunch this week, catching up with our guys, of course, that are going to play in South Bend, and you know, guys that won championships with us in 2019 and 2022. Apologies for the airport announcements over me, by the way. But good to see a bunch of our guys, and shaping up for another great year in South Bend.
Should be fun. I mean, it's fun. I mean, this time of year, in the midst of, like I said, you got basketball, baseball. Frankly, guy like you, guy like me, nothing better than those two sports, and you get a chance to talk to them. You're missing, as you've heard on the scoreboard update, some tremendous basketball in our state at all levels. We're winning games in this state. We got championships being crowned all over the state right now.
So I've heard, of course, Nathaniel Finch, a great job, and Corbin Lingenfelter, too. But, yeah, I mean, Trine, Coach, I can't say I've done their hoops before, but I've done their hockey in the past. So I'm definitely familiar with the Thunder up in Angola, up in northeast Indiana. And, you know, big shout-out, of course, we were just talking about the South Bend Cubs. South Bend St. Joe, to my understanding, right? They're going to be coming down. So
St. Joe's going to play. Yeah, they are. Yeah, moving on.
I mean, that's huge for the five. Listen, Coach, I mean, I know Mishawaka, the Cavemen, had a great year, too. And
they had a tremendous year.
They just came up short. But a team like St. Joe, I mean, Coach, I'm a guy that spends about 6 months out of the year in South Bend. I know that's a huge deal to the community, the 574.
It should be. There's no question. So what about the big club? Should people – I know that, you know, they're going to root for the – they're going to fly their flags no matter what, but tell me some good news about the big club.
Well, I think it's an attainable division, Coach, because you take a peek, the Pirates are not really competing yet. The Brewers lost a ton, including some talent and their manager. Of course, the Cubs poached Greg Council from the Brewers, and you know, they've lost some big league talent. I think the Cardinals are going to have a rebound year. I think your Cards are going to play much better this year. I love Nolan Arenado. I love Paul Goldschmidt, and they definitely got some help in their bullpen too. But I think, Coach, if anything, the Cincinnati Reds, to me, are the most exciting team in this division, at least at the moment. I think they have the best farm system in the division. But the Cubs are really close as well. But the thing about both the Cubs and the Reds is that their system, all their top guys are now about to hit the big leagues. The Cubs have had multiple guys that got up last year. The Reds are the same way. So the top of the division is going to be super enticing for this season. But I think there's a lot of hope for the Cubs because you re-signed Cody Bellinger. Seiya Suzuki's had a good spring. Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson, to me, is the best middle infield defensively in baseball. And along with some kids coming up, I'm looking forward to the year.
He's the man, Brendan King, live from Arizona. Keep sending those pictures. I like it. I like seeing it. I'm living vicariously through your life, so please keep me excited if you can do that.
You got it, Coach. I'll see you next weekend.
All right. Thanks so much. Brendan King talking a little baseball. All right, Nathaniel Finch, I'm sorry I've put you off all night long. Earlier today you had the call on the University of Indianapolis win over William Jewell in the first round action of the NCAA Division II National Tournament in the regional being hosted by the University of Indianapolis. This reverses a loss the Hounds had to William Jewell in the GLVC tournament. So tell me about this win by the Hounds. We talked to Coach Corsaro. Let's get your perspective on how they played today.
Well, it was a tale of three halves, Coach. Yeah, you heard that. So great first half, a very poor.
Wait, hold on. You have my interest now. That is a great tease. That's tremendous broadcasting. That's a great skill. It's a tale of three halves. So I'm all in right now. I'm paying attention.
They could not miss in the first half. 61% shooting, 43 from downtown. They built a big lead. They're up 16 going into the break. And then that second half, or the first half of the second half, I know, stay with me here, very poor play. Came out slow. It was a 7-0 run, 11-2 run for William Jewell. Brought it back close, and then that second half of the second half, the Hounds remembered how to play winning basketball. They did what they needed to do to get the win. It ended up being a 71-65 final, but it was, you know, within 12, 13 points with a minute left, so it just got close off of those free throws. But really, it was just a tale of three halves there. The Hounds did a good job in the first half, and at the end of the second half, hopefully that they can play winning basketball for 40 minutes tomorrow.
You heard Coach Corsaro talk about his post player, his big guy. What a spectacular day he had.
I mean, shoot, you said it. Why wouldn't he play more? It's because you have an All-American in front of him. Both of those guys, they don't like having them both on the floor. You know, Steinfeld off the bench is 7 foot. Kendrick Choa is 6'7", but he's about as big as you're going to find a big. And, I mean, you can't really have both on the floor. They played very well back and forth with each other, kept each other out of foul trouble. They played well, and he talked about Jarvis Walker, this guard. My goodness. You would love to watch him play basketball. He's playing the old man game. Get to your spot. Hit the shot. He's driving well. He's been on a tear the last month or so for the Hounds.
Well, of course, my favorite player is Jesse Bingham. Oh, yeah. His dad played for me at IUPUI. He's the glue. He's the guy that keeps everybody together on that squad.
And he played well, but they didn't ask him to score today. I mean, he only took 8 shots. He ended with 4 points. He had 2 boards and 4 assists. He played tremendous defense, though. That was his big reason he was in the game today. But, I mean, shoot, they didn't ask him to do a whole lot. He had a career-high 33 against Jewell last week. I think Coach kind of knew that they would key in a little bit more on Bingham. They did that, but he was outstanding defensively.
All right, I want you to hang on to that thought because we got to talk a little bit of high school basketball. Mark Forrester, another University of Indianapolis graduate, joins us from WMUN. He is he's at the Logan Sport semi-state Delta, losing in the championship game to a very, very, very good South Bend St. Joe team. Triple overtime game. Mark Forrester, thank you so much for the call. What a spectacular game you had tonight.
Coach, I've been doing this about 15 years, and I know you've had a lot of broadcasters that have been doing it 25, 30, 40, 50 years.
Right.
I think tonight, Coach, I can say I've seen it all. I don't know if you will ever see a triple overtime game that was 44 to 47. After regulation, Coach, it was 35 to 35. that gives you an idea.
Right. Hey, Mark. Yeah. Hey, Mark. Stuff. Let me jump in here. I hate to do this, but it's a great tease. It's a great setup. Hang on to that thought. We'll come back and talk about South Bend St. Joe's triple overtime win over Delta with Mark Forrester when we come back after the scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Daniel Finch with this Network Indiana scoreboard update, and I have some bad news if you're a fan of Indiana State. Of course, they lost to Drake in the Mo Valley Tournament Championship earlier this week, and last weekend, that is. So they've been waiting. They've got a 7-day wait until Selection Sunday to see if they can get an at-large bid into the NCAA Tournament, and NC State just stole a bid. They're currently ahead 12 points with 45 seconds to go over the fourth-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels in the ACC Tournament. So unless something completely catastrophic happens with a 12-point lead over the next 45 seconds, NC State just booked their tournament bid. They've won 5 games in 5 days. My goodness. Western Kentucky nearly about to book their trip to the tournament as well. They're joined by St. Peter's, Akron, UConn, New Mexico, Iowa State, Howard, and Vermont all to book their trip with an automatic bid and a conference championship today to the NCAA tournament. Of course, Purdue, they will get tomorrow off after losing to Wisconsin 76-75. As Rob Blackman said of the Purdue Radio Network, they at least get the extra day off before a grueling trip to, Indianapolis. Purdue likely basically locked up that they're going to be in Indianapolis next weekend for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. And of course, Zach Edey now is the all-time leading scorer in Purdue history.
Edey against Crowell. Back in, jump hook. He's got it. Zach Edey, the all-time leading scorer in Purdue basketball history.
He passes Rick Mount as now the all-time leading scorer in Boiler history. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back. This is Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Mark Forrester from WUN Radio on the call of the best, in terms of best, the most dramatic championship game of the night, if you will, in semi-state action. This one to Logansport in St. Joe and Delta, South Bend, St. Joe winning in full over 44. Let you set it up now. Now, turn it over. Take as much time as you want to. Take me through all overtime and tell me all about the drama that was going on in the thing.
Well, quite a battle. We set it up as this. You know, Delta's one of the best 3A teams in the state. As it comes to defense, if they only give up 41 points a game. South Bend St. Joe, one of the highest scoring teams in the state, in 3A, scoring 67 points per game. And, you know, if you're a Delta fan or a Delta team and you can keep it in the 40s, that's kind of where you had felt like this game would be a Delta type of pace. That being said, really in the fourth quarter, there wasn't a lead larger than 4. So it was one possession for the majority of it. And then when it gets to overtime, or really the last 4 minutes, it was tied at 33. And, you know, the styles, all those sorts of things, when it's a tie game with 4 minutes to play, it doesn't really matter what style it is. And so Delta had a chance at the end of regulation, at the end of the first overtime, at the end of the second overtime, and even at the end of the third overtime to ultimately win the game. It was tied after regulation, overtime one, overtime two. They were down one with a one-point deficit and a pretty good inbounds play. It swooped through one of their players' fingers, and he got it back, tried to lay it in, could not get it to go. Chase Kinesi gets the defensive board for South Bend St. Joe with 0.9 seconds to play, and it was over. I mean, you know, you draw this one up, and it is truly one of those things where you go three overtimes, 44-41, and you sit there and you say, I mean, somebody was going to have to be on that side of the loss and that side of the win. And tonight it was South Bend St. Joe on their way to the 3A state championship game.
What a heartbreaker. I mean, obviously, and what a great thrill for South Bend St. Joe. And quite frankly, you know, it's one of those kinds of games that with two great basketball teams, two tremendous coaches, you're not surprised that it's that kind of ball game that closely played, because especially the dynamics you talked about one team defensively one of the best, one team the offensively the best. Why not have it as a three overtime game in the 40s? Because, you know, this is how things are in March, Mark.
I mean, you couldn't have said it better, Coach. I mean, that's one of those things where you watch that game, and if you're an Indiana basketball purist, not to get super superlative right mm-hmm. now, but like that is the epitome
sure.
of this time of the year. Is like, it was an absolutely thrilling. I mean, you got to think, three overtimes. That's a quarter and a half more than a 32-minute game. It took that long. And by the way, Coach, I think I'm
yeah.
going to break. It was 35-35 at the end of regulation. So in the final 12 minutes of play, there was a combined – I'm going to do quick math. I'm not great at quick math, but there was a combined 16 points in 12 minutes of play. Because
right.
I think both teams understood the magnitude of the moment, and there was a lot of just being patient. Like, it
sure.
wasn't even holding the basketball in a lot of ways, Coach. It was just – you know, you knew every play that you were going to make in those moments was going to be key, and nobody really wanted to be the one that made a mistake. And at the end of it, I think the mistakes that were made were done in full course. So it was quite a battle, Coach, I got to tell you.
Mark Forrester from WMUN on the call of Delta's great battle with South Bend St. Joe. South Bend St. Joe wins that semi-state in triple overtime. Mark, I know you're drained. Be safe. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Pacers win tonight 121-100 over Brooklyn from the Indiana Pacers. My broadcast partner coming up for some IHSA state championships, Pat Boylan. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Bob. How are you? And yes, I was thrilled to see that assignment as well.
Remind me what game we're doing, because I don't pay attention to that. I was similarly excited when I saw your name. Because I don't think we get a chance to work together enough. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to work together more, but I'm excited about the opportunity to work with one of whom I consider to be one of the truly great young broadcasters in our state. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I just tell Heath Shanahan every single year that things are not going to go well for him if he doesn't put us together. And fortunately, we've got 2A.
All right.
That matchup. Yeah.
I'll be glad to. All right. Tell me about the Pacers. First winning season since 2019-2020. Quite a thrill for everybody.
Yeah, it was home win number 21, which the Pacers actually had this long, just remarkable streak of winning seasons at home. It went 31 years, and it came to a conclusion in the 2020-2021 season, and they had gone a couple of years without a winning record at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was certainly noteworthy to get that win number 21 at home tonight. The Pacers win tonight by 21 as well. You can speak to the significance of this far better than I could, Bob, but when you can have a stretch of play where you're not playing anywhere near your best, but still keep yourselves in the game, I always find that to be a really significant thing that a good team can usually do. And that's what the Pacers did tonight. They didn't look mm-hmm. anywhere near themselves, at least what they're capable of in the first half. But they came away at halftime actually up by 2. And then when they made some adjustments the second half, everything was downhill from there. They were pretty dominant in the second half.
I think you always have to remember it's a long season. It's a grind right now. You don't get you don't get style points. You just want to get a W. You want to be on the left-hand column, and however you get there is however you get there, and you have to be thrilled about it. And they still have a lot of basketball to be played, but it's a fun group. It's an exciting group, and you'd love to see they're rewarded for their efforts to this point.
Well, especially true with how Wednesday went. And for those who don't know, the Pacers had a game against Chicago where they let a three-point lead slip in the final seconds and then lost in overtime to some DeMar DeRozan heroics, a game that they really felt like they should have won, coming off a couple of really good road wins, too. And so to bounce back in the way they did, I think, was significant. And really, on balance, they strung together, I would say, six pretty good performances here. They aren't all wins. But I think in the last couple weeks, they're playing closer to the version of the team they'll want to be when we're hopefully talking playoffs in a few weeks. And, you know, it's amazing to think here we're in the final month of the season. It is such a marathon, but less than a month to go here and 14 games left for the Pacers. And the Eastern Conference is just so remarkably competitive that a game here or there, every single one's really important.
Hey, can you hang on through this scoreboard update? I mean, it's like a five-minute break. Do you have time to do that, or do you need to go?
Got it. No, you got it.
Okay. All right, perfect. Pat Boylan and I will continue to talk about the Indiana Pacers after this upcoming scoreboard update at the top of the hour. This is Indiana Sports Talk.